You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
Off to the races. Oh, it's a good night. It's a good night already. It's Tuesday night, everybody. We're starting a little bit early because it's 7 o'clock tonight, p.m. on the dot, which is 12 minutes from now. We're going to have a special guest. We have Dr. James Laval is coming on with us. I just did a little bit of a test call with him. Dr. Laval is going to be talking to us about cold and flu season and all the different dietary and sleep, rest, and recovery methods that are key to getting through the season healthy. But not only that, but he is very concentrated on one supplement in particular, and that is aged garlic. We're going to more about that. Bunch of questions. We'll have them on for a few minutes, and hopefully everybody has some good tips imparted unto them for the rest of the cold and flu season. And then, of course, for the rest of the show, we've got some great stuff. I don't know. I hope everybody finds some time to watch some of the Senate confirmation hearings with with Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. He knocked it out of the park. In my estimation, he really, really did knock it out of the park for the entirety of the day and did not get caught up in any of those these contrived moral webs that people like Dianne Feinstein and Al Franken Leahy, Senator Leahy, were trying to get him tangled in. So just watching this from an unbiased perspective, obviously I have my biases, but just watching the exchange, this was just like rubber pellets bouncing off a concrete wall. There was no substance coming from the line of questioning. They hit all of the major, they try to hit all the major wedge issues and talking points as far as their ideas of civil rights and human rights and LGBTQIAZYX. P-N-O-P-L-O-P. And they also got, they tried touching race a little bit. They tried getting into his 1986 appointment that didn't go through. And it didn't work. None of it worked. And he looks better than ever. And to be honest, he's an honorable guy. And if you read into this stuff, I have one article over here that really puts this whole voter fraud, this Alabama voter fraud case into frame in a really amazing way that we should definitely read into a little bit further. And I'm thinking about reading the entire thing once we're on the other side of the interview with Dr. Laval. What else we have tonight? Muslim imam calls Jeff Sessions evil incarnate. Listen to this. Listen to this. Actually, watch this scariness. Let me turn off Glenn Miller, the sound of a different time. And now let's go to the present. So we just go from Glenn Miller, which is the sound of a golden age in this country, as far as culture goes, and class. And then here is today. This imam, I don't know what his name is. Let me see here if there's anything in the description. I don't know, but you have to watch this little gaggle of people that are around him. This is outside of the Senate hearings. Watch this. This is scary.
We are not going to hide.
We are not going to hide.
We are not moving to Canada.
We are not moving to Canada.
We'll stand our ground.
We'll stand our ground.
And fight, fight, fight.
And fight, fight, fight.
What are they talking about? The thing is that everybody out there believes they know what they're talking about. They believe they have identified the monster underneath their beds. And they're only confident enough to talk about it when they're shoulder to shoulder and they're equally disillusioned together. But what the fuck are they talking about? Fight against what?
The incoming Trump presidency, maybe? Maybe? He's going to get rid of the Muslims?
Well, no, he's not, you idiot. You idiot? You still believe that, idiot? Let's see if this goes on for a couple more seconds. It's very weird. And it's just a bunch of children. Watch this.
For justice and equal rights.
For justice and equal rights.
More buzzwords. What does it mean? What are you talking about? What rights have been taken from you? What justice has been robbed from you? Tell me something specific.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
He's no good. For the nation.
He's not good for the nation.
Hey, he's not good. And let's keep going, though. Listen to this.
I'm telling you my personal experience. I have met him. I talked with him, his pastor. He is an evil incarnated. Let's say it again.
Did you hear that? I wish I had it just struck me right now. I wish I had Return of the Jedi clips ready to go. This sounds like C-3PO... telling the story of Princess Leia and Han Solo and the Rebellion and Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader to the Ewoks on Endor. That's exactly what... Ooh! And all the parents, all the parent Ewoks are covering the ears and the eyes of the baby Ewoks. That's exactly what this is. Ooh! He's the evil incarnate! Because I wonder what that conversation was like for this crazy man to come to the decision, to come to the conclusion that Jeff Sessions is evil incarnate. I really wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that exchange, for Jeff Sessions to look around to make sure nobody was watching and then go, I'm going to kill all of you. There's nothing you can do to stop me, Imam. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when he said it. Fucking creep. Listen to a little bit more of that. Actually, let's go back to the Ewok. The Ewok. Ooh. So back to wherever the hell this was, probably D.C., with C-3PO, Muslim C-3PO.
I have met him. I talked with him, his pastor. He is an evil incarnated.
Ooh.
Let's say it again.
Oh.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
And then all the kids, they start repeating again. Very, very good. They're very, very well trained.
Good for the nation.
It's not good for the nation.
We'll stand up and fight.
We'll stand up and fight.
Every step of the way.
So there you go. So there you go. I don't know what the hell's going on in the world. Do you? I have no goddamn clue what the hell's going on. All I know is that in 5 minutes, we've got Dr. James Laval that's going to be on with us for a few minutes to talk about how we can all stay healthy in this cold and flu season. I think he's a little bit late to save me, as I was laid up for 3 days straight, starting on New Year's Eve. And Matt is with us tonight. We're starting a little bit early, obviously. It's 6:56. I'm going to go until about 7:56, but there you go. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. What's going on, Sam? What's going on, Andrea? Murr, good to see you. Everybody here, good to see Brian. Brian says, Gadget Doc says, I've got more material on the Trump thing. It raises a lot more questions than it answers. It doesn't pass the smell test. Well, Gadget Doc, you're going to have to, reading the Trump-Russia memo. Highly suspect, that's what he says. Okay, well, and this is the memo that apparently Trump was briefed on today or something like that. Well, after Dr. Laval calls in Gadget Doc, please call in to nutshell that. So get a nutshell prepared. And that's what we'll be doing. All right, so we did that. We did the imam. Maybe after that, in the meantime, maybe somebody can find the clip of C-3PO. Hold on, we have 3 minutes. Let me find this. I'll just play the audio before I get taken off of YouTube. C-3PO storytelling. Let's see. C-3PO, the master storyteller. A minute long. This is a minute 43 long. Okay, hold on. Just listen to the audio.
For justice and Ichenko Vaskimo here to the Death Star. Us Michi and Geda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Imanomachu Vedakon Yumnum. Yes, R2, I was just coming to that. Toronto Gosh.
Uh-oh.
Master Luke had Chimney to do.
Ooh.
Ooh, millennium.
There they are. This is them.
What's Nutch Vader? Han Solo. Tiklo
Carbon.
Wanda Kutcher. Gubu Salek. Oh.
And that leaves us to where we are today.
He is no good for the nation.
He is not good for the nation.
And I'm telling you my personal experience. I have met him. I talk with him, his pastor. He is an evil incarnated.
Say it again, sir. All right. Well, let's give our guest of the evening a call. Let's put Glenn Miller back on to soothe the mood. Oh, God, it's going to be a good night. I can already tell. Then I'm going to leave here afterwards. We do a little work. Tomorrow night, we start working on the music again. What am I going to get from the diner tonight? I don't know. Last night, I had myself a pizza burger deluxe. I just had to. I wanted to go right for the beef. Pizza burger deluxe. Cooked medium. I even ate the pickle and the coleslaw. Lauren hates when I do it. I said, you know what? I'm hungry tonight. I'm going to be eating the pickle and the coleslaw. You're going to have to look the other direction. She has like an aversion to both the pickle and the coleslaw. Can't stand any of them. So sometimes out of respect, if I'm not ravenous, I'll just leave it to the side or I won't have it just because I don't want her to have to, you know, retch. But, you know, some nights I say, Laura, sorry, it's a pickle night. And she knows what that means. All right, so let me call up... It's a pickle night, Lauren. Oh, shit. Okay, that didn't work. Let's call him again.
Hello.
And joining us live tonight on the Quite Frankly podcast is a new friend of the show, Dr. James Laval. How are you, doctor?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're fantastic. You know, it's funny. We have you on tonight because we're going to be talking about all of the different types of ways that we can fortify ourselves during cold and flu season. And this comes a week after I had been destroyed over the course of 72 hours with this really bad cold that started on New Year's Eve. I wish we could have spoken to you about 2 weeks ago.
No kidding, man. I tell you what, you and a lot of people have been getting hit by it this year. It's been a rough year for colds and flu.
Oh, absolutely, especially over here in New York. Now, I don't know where you're at. We have a three-hour difference. Are you in California?
I am. I'm in Mission Viejo.
Is that? I don't know what the weather's like over there.
Southern California right now, it's raining, which we need the rain, so we're happy, but... You know, not too bad cold, but I'm going to Cleveland and then going to Washington, D.C. this week later. So, you know what? I'm going to be in the middle of it. You know, it's going to be cold and And probably some snow and probably a bunch of flu bugs hanging around.
Well, you know, let's just get right to it then. Yeah, as we've been told many times in the past, and I've been working in health and fitness for a long time as a personal trainer and a sports coach as well. And the one thing I know about my moderate knowledge of health and nutrition is that 80% of our immune system is in our gut. And I'd like to know what X factors, be it nutritional or environmental X factors, are magnified during the cold months that contribute to what is known as flu season. Like what type of bad habits that we have maybe during the summertime that don't really harm us as much always come around to bite us when it seems to be cold?
Well, I think there's a couple things that go on. I mean, the first thing is that, you know, from Thanksgiving through the first of the year, there's a lot of holiday parties. People are hectic with the holiday season. I think there's more stress around the holidays and flu season, and stress being a huge factor on suppressing your immunity. If you're not getting as much sleep, I know for, you know, when the holiday season's coming around, I know for me this year, I mean, I definitely was, you know, more busy doing more things, travel, if you're only getting 5 hours of sleep a night, you're nine times more likely to get a cold or flu. If you're getting under 7 hours, but more than five, you're five times more likely to get a cold or flu. So I think the holiday season has something to do with it. When you're in the winter months, your vitamin D pool goes down, right? So people are out in the sunshine in the summer. Vitamin D helps your immune system a lot in terms of cold and flu season. And then, of course, there's eating habits that change, right? As summer breaks, you know, and you go into winter, usually foods get a little heavier. Mm. You get a little more, more sweets, more carbohydrates, more starches.
Lots of sugar.
All of those things. Yeah. All those things influence your ability to fight off cold bugs, flu bugs.
You had mentioned vitamin D. That's another thing that I've always carried with me over the years, aside from knowing to take care of your intestinal tract the best you can. But as far as vitamin D goes, how much of a fluctuation in which is technically a hormone, is it not?
Right, exactly. Vitamin D is kind of what they call a pro-hormone. But, I mean, I just came to my office. I just saw patients all day today. I had no one. Now, I'm in Southern California, right? Nobody flew in to see me today. I do have people flying from all over. But today, nobody. Guess what? Everybody have low vitamin D's. So in general, vitamin D, I think people aren't in the sun as much. I think the second factor is if you're in New York or where I used to live in Cincinnati, Ohio, starting in the fall, you're starting to lose vitamin D, and you'll see your vitamin D levels drop in half.
So how much would you – I've heard, you know, anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 IU a day of vitamin D. What would you suggest people supplement on a daily basis during these winter months?
Well, if you're not going to know your vitamin D level, you know, I'd say it's, you know, 5 days a week, 5,000 units a day, take the weekends off. If you know your vitamin D is low and, you know, say your vitamin D is under 30, then, you know, during the winter months, 10,000 a day, 5 days a week, take the weekends off. Only if your vitamin D is in the range of like 55 to 75, then you think about a couple thousand. Now, the big thing is to realize you can use vitamin D if you do catch a cold or flu. You can take some vitamin D, and it'll really help, along with some vitamin A in particular, because A makes vitamin D work better. Vitamin D is what's called a retinoic acid receptor, which is basically a vitamin A type of receptor. So it used to be you'd always buy vitamin D and it had vitamin A with it. Well, then vitamin A got a bad rap for a while, and then they figured out that the study that they were saying was a bad rap were kind of false.
Was that the study that said that vitamin A can be poisonous?
Right.
I remember
that. Birth defects and poisonous. Yeah, and they found out, we were wrong. But we didn't do any kind of media to educate the consumer that they were wrong on that study and that their conclusions were erroneous. And so we've kind of all shied away from taking vitamin A, which is somewhat, you know, let's face it, that's an essential nutrient. A and D work together. When people don't get enough A and they're taking vitamin D, sometimes their vitamin D levels won't come up, even when they're taking D. And that's because they need the vitamin A to make the D absorb better, and they're more sensitive to that. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, and there's other things you can do. Like, there's a great study. So, you know, you mentioned the gut lining, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the intestinal tract and the microbiome play a huge role in your immune health. So, obviously, probiotics are important. There's a wide variety of probiotics that are out there on the market. I always tell people, look, try to find ones that are guaranteed to the expiration date, for one. And then I'll tell you what, a great study out of the University of Florida this last year published, showing that when you take aged garlic extract, it has to be aged. It's not, you know, just like going and buying garlic or chewing up garlic cloves. It's aged garlic extract actually reduced severity, duration, and frequencies of colds and flu in college students when they were getting ready actually for final exams in the fall semester. So right in the heat of the flu season, aged garlic extract in a fairly significant trial, it made a big difference for people. So that's one that's really good too.
Now, talk to us a little bit, because I know that a lot of your practice is revolved around finding dietary the supplementation, very, very important to fortifying yourself, your immune system. But
right.
and I have a lot of stuff here from your offices about aged garlic, and it caught my eye, and I want to ask you about this. Now, I saw a couple of things here. I'm going to read this right off of the from the findings published in the Journal of Nutrition here. Aged garlic extract, AGE, is manufactured from organically grown garlic cloves that are sliced and soaked in an aqueous ethanol solution and extracted and aged up to 20 months. Now, what in this process right there, is that where the garlic loses its smell? What happens to the garlic when it's in this solution?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not a part of Wakanaga, which is aged garlic extract. You know, I've lectured for them. I've used this product in practice now for almost 20 years.
Wow.
And so, yeah, when you age the garlic, meaning when you soak it in solution and it's aging, kind of like when, you know, you make beer from hops or make sauerkraut from cabbage, it changes the physical properties of the garlic. And so when you're soaking it, what happens is all the volatile compounds that make you stink when you eat garlic, they actually get metabolized. They get changed into water-soluble compounds. So compounds that can be easily excreted don't make you stink, and they do something very interesting. When you age it, it creates a whole new family of chemical compounds that are immune-supportive, detoxification-supportive. Obviously, the big studies that popped in that American Journal of Nutrition, regressing vulnerable plaque, improving blood pressure, improving immune markers. These are all very significant findings. And the thing about aged garlic, you know, 750 publications on aged garlic extract. So, you know, it's pretty meaningful.
It seems it, and this is the first time I've heard it. Now, I've heard about garlic supplementation. I used to take garlic just because I started wanting to make sure that cholesterol remains strong. And, of course, we always have heard that garlic is very, very good for cardiovascular and heart health. And but
right.
to hear about the way that this is it different from, so if I were to go and take like a garlic or something, grab it off these stores, it's completely different. I wouldn't be, it wouldn't have even slightly the effect of what the aged garlic does.
Well, it won't. Here's the difference. So you may get a little bit of antibacterial effect from it, but the aged garlic is so chemically different. I've written, you know, 3 databases on natural products and 20 books. I mean, I've really, in addition to running a huge, you know, amount of patients over the last 35 years. So this is a, so the product is unique because of the aging process. And so when you look at the cardiac scores, meaning when they scanned human beings' hearts and they looked at their calcification, and the vulnerable plaque actually regressed. The only garlic that's ever been shown to do that is aged garlic extract, just like the blood pressure study that showed an 11-point drop in systolic blood pressure. It remodels the inner lining of the artery. It gets the stiffness out of it when you use the aged garlic. So, no, it really is unique and different. And I can tell you, I probably in the last month, I've probably got five patients that their blood pressure went down by adding aged garlic to their program. And you know, it's interesting because everybody thinks that, well, garlic's garlic, I'll eat more garlic. Garlic is great to eat. I'm Italian, right? I love garlic. I love to saute it. I love to chew a clove. But I'm not going to get the same benefit as when I take aged garlic extract because it's chemically different. So if you want your blood vessels to be more pliable, right, hardening of the arteries is what ages us. Aged garlic has been proven in human trials, not rat trials. I have no rats coming into my office asking for my help. I got, you know, this is a human, you know, the human trials on this are good. The blood vessels have been actually imaged to show an improvement. LDL cholesterol down, HDL cholesterol up, oxidized LDL, right? The big thing that we're all worried about, it's not how much LDL cholesterol you have. It's if it's oxidizing or not. The rate of rusting of your cholesterol is what triggers the, you know, the plaque formation. And then the last thing, that I think is really important with it, is that it reversed bone mineral density loss in human studies.
Ooh.
Now, why is that important? Well, I mean, obviously osteoporosis and osteopenia, that all makes sense. But the real importance is that people don't realize bone loss is correlated to plaquing of your arteries. The more bone you lose, the more bone mineral density loss that you have, the more your arteries plaque. There's a direct correlation. And that's why it's important to exercise and keep your bone remodeling. That's why it's important to understand you need an alkaline pH so you don't melt your bone down and try to balance your pH. Very important. And when you take aged garlic, it actually does that. It actually stops bone mineral density loss.
And it helps to stabilize pH as well?
I don't know about stabilizing pH. That I haven't seen any data on. Now, but some other things that it does, because pH, honestly, you know what does pH better than anything, right?
Lemon.
Eat more vegetables, drink some green drinks, squeeze some lemon in some water, and most of all, magnesium and potassium, man. You people aren't eating enough vegetables. They're not getting enough minerals. And minerals are what alkalinize your body.
Well, let me
and
ask.
So it's
I'm definitely going to get – I have to get this entire episode into the hands of my fiance. She's got to listen to it because we're talking about stuff like this too, and this is fantastic. But as far as garlic itself, what about dosing? If I were to go out and start looking through aged garlic supplements tonight and I wanted to really incorporate this into my daily routines and my supplementation and regimens and all that,
right,
what would the dosing look like?
So if you go and you look at Kyolic – aged garlic, and they've got a whole family of products. They got a Kyolic immune product, they got a Kyolic cardiovascular product. You could kind of pick the product that you want for the need that you have. But my suggestion would be, if your main interest is cardiovascular health, lipid remodeling, blood vessel dynamic improvement, bone mineral density loss changes, the cold and flu benefit, then you get the 600 milligram capsules, Kyolic Reserve, and you can take two capsules twice a day, and that's the maximum threshold benefit. You know, you don't really need to take any more than 2400 milligrams of aged garlic. You won't stink, you won't smell. The other thing is that you can get benefit. There are studies like the Fireman study which was called the FAITH trial, where they showed a measurable improvement in stress response to their blood vessels, reduction in oxidative stress, their lipids were better, 1,200 milligrams a day. So you could do one capsule twice a day if you'd like. What I tell people is always get in more than 1,000 a day.
Okay.
That's your minimum marker.
Well, I have two questions and a comment. And one of the comments from the chat room is from Andrea, and she says, "This guy has nice skin. I trust his information." So we have your headshot up. Everybody, you're immediately trustworthy because the skin is glowing. So good job, doctor.
And that's not touched up, man. That's not touched up. That's all real deal.
Okay, so the first question came from Murr in the chat room, and he asked, going back to sunlight and vitamin D, does wearing sunblock actually affect vitamin D production in
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Okay.
It does.
Okay.
And yeah, wearing sunblock is going to block your sun. Yeah, you're not getting sun. You don't make as much vitamin D with sunblock.
My second question to you, this is from me now. Now, in the all of a sudden, throughout the entirety of this interview so far, and we're coming up on the end of it now, but I love it. You have to come back on at least.
Oh, I'd love to, man.
Especially at least every year when this time comes around, but we have to find other reasons to get you on. The thing that's come up so far is a healthy, balanced diet. We're talking about organic solutions right from nature. We're talking about de-stressing.
Right.
We're talking about sleep. We're talking about garlic. We're talking about pH balancing. We're talking about everything that people, things that people can do without having to go and seek out prescriptions and this and that. So from that standpoint, I really appreciate and respect that approach. But let's go a little bit more Western with this. What is your stance on yearly preventative vaccines and inoculations?
Oof. Well, I'm not a huge fan. The problem I have with it, first of all, is that when you're looking at vaccinations in terms of like flu vaccine, you got to go to the Center for Disease Control. You got to go to the CDC and you got to find out if the vaccine's really a good match or not.
Right.
And they'll tell you whether it's a good match or not. The other thing is that there are people that are poor responders to it. And then, at-risk populations, people that have risks of pneumonia, cancer survivors, that have had their immune systems, pretty tore up because of their chemotherapy and the condition that they had. I mean, I get the Western medicine saying, hey, maybe we should try and do that. In general, in our practice and what I've preached to people is, look, do your best defense, because there's plenty of people that get a flu vaccine and still get the flu. And then the argument is, well, they do better. Well, my problem is we got all kinds of patients that don't necessarily do better. So I really leave it up to the individual as to, look, if you really feel you do great with a flu shot and you want to do it, you can. We're not big on them. We'd rather have people eat right, take vitamin D, maybe take some medicinal mushrooms, get on some aged garlic, and go about that way, unless there's a clear clinical condition is highly strongly recommended by their specialist, and then we're not going to cross the specialist.
Well, next time you come on, we have to talk about these special mushrooms for sure, because that is that sounds very, very interesting right there. Dr. Laval, you've been a fantastic guest, and I can't wait until the day that you come back on again. And I'm sure everybody else feels the same way. Is there anything that you'd like to plug or leave us with as we wrap up the call? Any websites, any information that we can learn about your practice and your personal work?
Sure. They can go to jimlaval.com, and that's got all my information, the books I've written, my TV, all the stuff I've done, and who I work with. And then also, you can go to metabolicode.com. It's a cloud-based system that kind of evaluates where people are at. And actually, George Washington Medical School, an integrative medicine program, is using it. It's kind of interesting and exciting. So metabolicode.com and jimlaval.com.
Awesome. I got both of those URLs up on the screen right now. Dr. Laval, thank you so much for spending the time with us tonight, and I cannot wait to have you back. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. Thank you, and I will gladly come back.
All right, man. Take care.
Yep.
Be well. That was great, Matt. What do you think about that?
I just want to know more about the mushrooms.
I was waiting for you to say, Doctor, can you tell me a little bit more about these mushrooms? You should have said something.
I didn't know how, you know.
People like when you ask questions, man. Don't worry. Just jump on into the pool. All right, so let me sign out of this Skype. I had to take that call on the old Zen Live TV Skype. I'm gonna sign in to Quite Frankly now. Quite Frankly. And Gadget Doc, if you could be so kind as to call in with what you are saying you gave the smell test to. I can't wait to go back and make a highlight of that call. That was a really great call. And it breaks up all the nonsense that we do every night. You know what I mean? I can't stand it. Oh, shit. I'm trying to remember my password now. There we go. So I'm logged into the Quite Frankly podcast Skype now. You guys can call in at any time. I definitely want to hear from Gadget Doc as far as what he was talking about before the show. Let me get this up on the screen. Skype, Quite Frankly. All right. Let's see here. What's going on, Thorn? I see you in there. And Dan Spratlin, Frankie Castle, Nikki with the purple top hat, pass the ass word. That's it. So we've put in our John Podesta password. Hopefully nobody hacks the Skype account. That would be detrimental to national security. Please don't guess the password. That's all I'm asking. All right, so you know what? We're talking about mood. I want to get around to Jeff Sessions. We'll do it in the second half. I want to read that off of this thing we got here. But here, listen to this. A study shows that the mood-enhancing effect of revenge. Now, doesn't revenge always feel so sweet to think about, Matt?
It does. That's why these next 4 years are going to be great.
See?
Seeing people march to the gulag.
No, see, this is what we need to prevent. We need to prevent this. You've got to level out. You've got to help me level out, Matt. We can't have these things be said. Gadget Doc, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, hold on a second. I got to put you on mute on this YouTube.
Okay.
All right. So very quickly, I sent you the CNN report before the show. I guess you didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. So they're reporting that there's a memo that a former MI6 guy has been circulating around about Trump and the connections to the Russians, connections to the hacking. All right. I'm going through the 35-page memo now. Okay. It sounds very self-serving. It actually looks like it was written after the fact. However, the date on the memo is 30 July 2016. Just some very quick highlights there. What the media is focusing on is that there might be some sexual deviation for Trump and he might like golden showers. That is not the important part of this. The important parts are,
does he like getting peed on or peeing on somebody?
I think what I read is that he was being childish, and he had prostitutes pee on a bed that Obama slept on.
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, wait. What's the source of this? What's the source of this again?
Okay, so first CNN broke the story.
Okay.
Okay.
That Trump hired prostitutes to pee on an Obama bed?
No, that there was this memo floating around.
Okay.
That links him to the Russian hacking. Okay. This is, I first saw it with the Jerusalem Post, then CNN, then Christopher Miller. So, you know, this is making its rounds. It's mushrooming. All right. And the actual memos on BuzzFeed. Now you have to give BuzzFeed a little bit of credit. Recently, their news division's been doing their homework.
Gadget, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because there's two things that I had to come up here. There's one story I wanted to bring up tonight, and that was the story that the FBI never asked for access to the hacked computer servers, and BuzzFeed was the one to break that.
Correct.
Very interesting.
They're doing their homework, and they get a very hungry journalist there. She's going to make a name for herself.
And she'll probably not be with BuzzFeed for long then.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she's about to make it into the majors. Anyway, but they've also – but in this report – now, I'm only on page 10 of 35, okay? So I actually like to digest what I'm reading because I also try to –
we've got a lot of new viewers and a lot of new subscribers since last week. For the people who are seeing and hearing you for the first time, why don't you give a little bit about your background, a very short bio of your expertise and what you've done?
So my background is basically I am currently working in the computer IT field, mostly working with networks and network security. Prior to that, I was a defense contractor. And prior to that, I was a Global War on Terrorism veteran, and I worked in special operations, also in intelligence gathering and aviation.
Okay. Now, so, continue with what you're saying now.
Okay. So very quickly, they've been eavesdropping on Hillary Clinton since Bill Clinton's presidency, and they had compromise on her. They have about whether or not he may have been groomed by Russian intelligence. We're saying that there's potential money laundering and that there's a possible quid pro quo when Carter Page met with Igor Dmitriev. I'm probably pronouncing his name incorrectly. For pulling back from Ukraine, but we're going to strengthen our bond.
There was nobody else that they could have gone to bribe. Nobody else. Trump was the only.
The memo is kind of very strange, because they're talking about this meeting in 2013. They're also talking that they've been grooming him for approximately 8 years. So there's some breaks and some timelines here. That's why I say it's very, very suspect. However, it's very serious what's being said in this memorandum. Also, that our telegraphic systems, which is really more important, have been compromised. So our encryption, our secure encryption, needs to be fixed. These are the important things that I'm getting at. So there's
okay. So right now, because you're only a third of the way through this, and I want to move on to something else real quick. But right now, what would you say the percentage? What's the probability of this coming back and actually becoming a legal problem in the first year of his term?
Greater than 75%.
You think that there's going to be articles of impeachment drafted over this?
Because people
are going to be looking for a reason.
If this turns out to be true, the Congress will have no choice.
Strap in, everybody. Holy shit. Strap in. Now, it doesn't make sense to me, though.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it's definitely what you're describing is definitely serious, but it doesn't make sense as far as policy positions go, how that lines up. It doesn't make sense because the only reason why he got the presidency was because it wasn't Russian media that gave him all the coverage. I mean, how did they defeat Ron Paul? They didn't cover him. But he found a way to get to latch on to American media, the same American media that's trying to get him impeached and will be trying to get him impeached all the whole way around. So it's like every step of the way, that you can try to say that the Russians did this and that's how Donald Trump became president just doesn't check out. It doesn't check out. There was too many things that went wrong here for the left, actually for the establishment, but the left and the right. It really doesn't check out. I don't believe any of it.
There's enough there that I would give it. It definitely needs further investigation. This is not something that I'm going to dismiss out of hand. And you know me, I was a Trump supporter from the beginning. So it's enough there that we need to be 100% sure that our president has not been compromised, that members of his team are not compromised. And I would say the same is true on the Democratic side, because there's probably some senior officials on the Democratic side that have been compromised as well.
Well, Gadsdoc, thank you so much for the call. Obviously, this is just the tip of an iceberg. So
yeah, this is going to be a story. This will be tomorrow's big story. We're just ahead of the talk game, if you will.
Well, let's see where it all goes, man. We're just going to follow the breadcrumb trail. Thanks for the call.
Talk to you later.
All right. So everybody, Gadsdoc is in the chat room. So strike up any kind of conversation you'd like. The hell is that about now?
That's bullshit.
Yeah, but you
they
can't
found
just
all
say
these other emails or whatever the hell this and that, and they took how long to find this one? Yeah, okay, get out of here.
He said it's from the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking 6 months ago. Get the fuck out of here! It's bullshit.
It really doesn't matter.
It's a lie.
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't make sense. To think about this, think about the American, the story of Donald Trump. What did Donald Trump need from Russia? How was the presidency such a, this needs to be the next thing I do, to the point where I will sell out my country to be able to become president? Think about the body of work of his life in public eye, in business, whether it be real estate or entertainment, on television and movies. He was just really, whether you like him or not, he was an American icon. He was one of those iconic names and faces that kind of just, you know, popped up like a troll. He's like a clownish type of person for some people. A lot of people never liked his personality. He was always the butt of jokes, but he liked it. You know, whenever you joke about Donald Trump, it's like scratching a dog's belly. But I don't understand how all of a sudden, in the waning years of a person's life, as they're approaching 70 years old, they are willing to throw away everything to become president of the United States, and in throwing away everything, throwing away their own allegiances to their country. I don't understand that decision making at all. Okay, because there's one thing that we know about Donald Trump right now. He knows who his friends are. He knows he's never going to get any support from the people on the hard left. He barely has support of Republicans. He only has the support of his base. If he loses them, he has nothing. His name is shit. His brand is shit. Everything is shit. He's got to deliver on something right now, and he's rode in on this horse for a very specific reason. I do not understand it. You know, you can look at people like Barack Obama and say, wow, where the hell did he come from? He came from out of nowhere. Was he groomed? Has he been, you know, let's look at his background. What the hell can you say about the background of Donald Trump? First of all, it's all on tape. His entire life has been on video. Sam in the chat room says they would have allowed him to make it to the election if he was. Would they have allowed him to make it to the election if he was compromised? They say that McCain knew. ILOC says, I also saw FBI documents from the 80s with his ties, his quote unquote ties to people who were affiliated with the Russian mafia in Atlantic City.
In the 80s?
In the 80s.
Oh, that was probably like fucking everybody in the Italian mafia, too. In the fucking casino business in the 80s.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Now, obviously, if you are the machine that could produce documents and you can produce very, very stoic-looking men and women in suits and ties to stand up and behind podiums and present documents and present evidence and make claims and this and that, and you have the credibility of the United States government, whatever credibility is left, I mean, then there's that. Then you're fighting against that. But aside from that, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass the sniff test, as the Gadget Doc says. It doesn't pass the gut test over here. And this is not cognitive dissonance. This is not cognitive dissonance kicking in for me. I would not want to go to war with reality if Donald Trump was really a Russian agent. Seriously.
Trump's a Russian agent.
Donald Trump groomed by the Russians. After all these years, a New York America. This is the man, this is enough to kill any hard-on, I'll tell you. The headlines every day, enough to kill any hard-on.
It's all right.
Gonna have to start taking those Peter North pills. Dan Spratlin. Everyone will pay. Dan Spratlin in the chat room says he has more to lose than any politician in U.S. history. Absolutely, because he's not a politician. Not a politician. Now, if he survives the next 4 to 8 years, okay, because of course, the most disastrous thing, the thing that people really fear the most, is that the next 4 years aren't bad at all. And that things aren't as bad as people thought at all. That he surprised a great many people. That is actually what people fear the most, if you want to think in realistic terms. It's sick. It's sick to think that people are betting against someone's success. Especially when their success, your happiness, and the viability of your own personal life with your family and how the economy works and how you interact with the economy and how your prospects look and all that stuff, how all of that is hinged upon what a president does, which is a terrible thing to think about too, because a president shouldn't have that much power. But this is the stack that we're playing with now. Nikki says, I need some of those mushrooms that we were talking about. You know. Oh, I don't know what to do. Who the fuck knows? Study shows that the mood enhancing effect of revenge. Do we even need to read this article? When we feel ostracized, we're more likely to behave aggressively. Previous research suggests that vengeance on those we think have wronged us can be driven by a sense of justice. Duh. We need a duh button. Is there a duh button somewhere we can press? We need an official, quite frankly, soundboard. It's like, duh. You need to research that? All you need to watch, all you have to do is watch what's been going on in this country for the last couple of years. In a new Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, David Chester and Nathan DeWall tested the idea that social rejection, by making us feel wounded and unwanted, triggers a need to repair our mood by whatever means available, including through satisfaction of causing harm to those who have made us suffer. They found that aggression can indeed be a viable method of mood repair. Well, why do you think that this type of thinking and this type of behavior is ushered in by political and media class? That elite class that are able to craft and control narratives that we all digest on a day-to-day basis. And what do they mainly sell? They sell and peddle victimhood. They either exacerbate something that's happening in an isolated part of the country and make it a national problem, or they dig up the ghosts of the past and make it a national problem. And they impart onto some people the title of victim, and they impart onto other people the title of those who have benefited off of the victimization of some people. And when you create a culture of baseless victimhood, what comes next? Inevitably, violence and lashing out and acts of revenge, whether it be political sabotage, social sabotage, you know, slander, libel of all types. But there's nothing holding you back at that point because you have been conditioned to feel completely just in your stance. Completely just. So there's that. You know what's funny, Matt? I was watching The Office again last night, and it was season 5 when it was right after... Actually, it was the last episode of season 4, the first season that Jim and Pam are together. And the last episode of season 4 is when they introduce Holly's character and Toby goes away. He moves to Costa Rica.
He gives him the rock.
Yeah. Of all the idiots... In all the idiot villages, you stand alone, my friend. But when they do that farewell party for Toby Flenderson, and Michael Scott goes and invests hundreds of dollars in firework displays and carnival rides. He was telling Angela, imagine if the devil exploded. And there's a celebration. So he wanted this celebration to be akin to that we would be holding if the devil were to have exploded and was no more going to be tormenting the world. That was how badly he hated Toby. So this, if you remember, Jim wanted to propose to Pam at this event. But Andy steals the spotlight and goes and has this really awkward proposal of marriage to Angela, okay? And he, you know, he steals it away from Pam and Jim. And afterwards, Andy comes up to Jim. He goes, you know, Mr. Andrew Bernard, I like the sound of that. Thinking that only when you get married are you able to use the prefix Mr. Idiots. I love it. I love that show. Everybody, just watch The Office. Just absorb it. It is good for the soul, I promise you. It's like homemade chicken soup. Oh, okay. Espresso del Lago, Falling Man. This is a good chill track right here. Everybody chill while we discuss what we're going to be talking about for the next 10 minutes. 10 minutes left of this broadcast. I can't wait to come back on tomorrow for the Hump Day edition. So we talked about the Muslim imam who is calling Senator Jeff Sessions whatever. It looks like Sessions is going to be... He was so warmly received by the Senate hearing today. They tried to throw some curveballs at him, but honestly, the greatest curveballs they threw at him were questions about the character of Donald Trump. Senator Leahy asked Jeff Sessions if he considered the groping of a woman's genitals without consent sexual harassment. And of course, Senator Leahy has voted for Bill Clinton twice and was a vehement opponent to his impeachment too, you know, and we're talking about Bill Clinton, who has been raping women since he was an Arkansas governor and before. So for everybody to be virtue signaling over this, over something that somebody said, as disgusting as it sounds, when you hear the locker room jockeying between two people, two jackasses talking of a conversation that was never supposed to be heard by the public, that happens all the time. To hear what was said as opposed to the defense of what was done. The hypocrisy still, I mean, it's whatever.
You think they'll be asking General Mad Dog Mattis stupid questions like that?
I can't wait to watch
Better
those
not,
hearings.
Because you know what'll happen to them if they do.
He will kill everybody in the room.
He won't personally do it, but he'll have them march straight to the fucking gulag.
That's right. Mattis looks at everybody in the Senate hearing, goes, I promise everybody in this room, that if you make trouble for me, the first thing I will do is have you all marched into a gulag. And for some of you, the gallows.
Oh, no. Well, that's a nice way of saying, you know. Because I'll be, you know, I'm gonna volunteer my time. However.
As an executioner?
Yep.
You want to be the one pulling the lever?
I do.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's where this country's going now. Sam Shearer goes in and he puts on that. He goes, that locker room convo where he said, quote, women will let you grab them by the pussy. Absolutely. That's the other thing. He's describing the life of celebrity, of having celebrity status and what it actually affords you in certain circles, where being that there are men and women who will do anything to fondle, fuck, or be fondled by a celebrity. I mean, you look at the James Lipton interview with Dave Chappelle when he's talking about, you know, chicken head girl. He makes comments about, you know, the celebrity lifestyle, money, and, you know, the chicken head women that you have access to. I mean, where's the outrage on stuff like that when people like Dave Chappelle outline and highlight what that type of status in society brings you? It is a form of privilege. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's lots of very ugly people out there who have celebrity status and in turn have access to pussy that even I would never be able to get if I was still eligible to get it. I have my own tricks, Dewey. It's just like... That's it. I'm feeling good because Dino's here.
How lucky can one guy be?
I grabbed her pussy and she kissed me. Like a fella once said, ain't that a hand down the pants? The moon was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Uh-oh, like a sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful.
Sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said.
Well, what are we gonna do? I didn't say my thank yous, so let me say my thank yous, and tomorrow we're going to start off with the Jeff Sessions thing. Actually, you know what? I'm going to leave this with you guys. It's really great reading. You don't need to hear me to read it. I'm putting it in the chat room. It's from the Conservative Review, and if you're listening on podcasts right now, you can go to conservativereview.com and look for the title is How Black Democrats Stole Votes in Alabama and Jeff Sessions Tried to Stop It. It's from January 5th, 2017. You're going to hear a lot about Alabama and this whole Turner and Hogue situation and how it's been spun into a racist narrative. Farthest thing from the truth. And in fact, when you read it, there's no choice but to be convinced of the man's integrity. When you look at both sides of the story and what makes sense and what actually plays out, to the point where even Turner, his own son, Mr. Turner's own son, has come out and said the man, this was not an issue of race and he's a good man. So check that out. Read that on your own. It is very, very important that you do so because you're going to hear a lot of people throw out a lot of baseless claims. But I got to thank all of my bosses now. And I have a new boss. I've got a new boss, too, on Patreon, one of the Patreon Patriots. And he's the first one I'm going to thank tonight. John Giacotto. Giacotto. He's Italian for sure.
Dominic DeCocco.
So that's our new Patreon Patriot. You guys go to patreon.com/quitefrankly and become a supporter of this show. If you like what you're seeing, I'm giving it 5 nights a week, and soon for an hour and a half a night. And then once we get to a certain point, 2 hours a night. And also that we're going to add on a special once a month midnight edition of the show where we're going to talk about kooky shit, have really fun stuff, because this is not going to be just political. It can't be. We got to have fun. We had a great non-political guest tonight. I want to research more and more guests to have on, so it's going to be good stuff. So patreon.com/quitefrankly. Check out everything that's there. If you want to donate $50, 50 cents a month, $50, obviously, that'd be fantastic. 50 cents a month, fine. I just want to see contributors there, and I'll shout you all out. So from $10, there's a 1776 club, a 1984 club, where we write each other handwritten letters. It's going to be fantastic, fantastic year. I can't wait to grow with you guys. So first of all, for those of you who don't have the means or the time isn't right to be a financial contributor, please, if you like the show, share it with friends. Share it on all of your social networks. Show somebody that you think would appreciate the conversation. Maybe somebody that needs a healthy opposing point of view. We are controversial, but we always come from a place of love. I appreciate that. You have to appreciate it. But go on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Music, whatever the hell it is, Google Play and all that shit, and give it some likes, write it a review, throw it some stars, subscribe. All of those things really help us get visible on all of these sites and these charts, especially iTunes. But for those of you who I call my bosses on Patreon, here are your names, the Wall of Fame. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Purple Hat, Andrew Great Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mike May, who created our intro, LS Dan, Mr. Spratlin. Get high on that LS Dan. Rob Corrado from Colorado. Max Ancaparato from Colorado. Christian Pepis from Colorado. Sean Collins from Colorado. Matt Smith from Colorado. That was my Howard Dean. Rudy Escarcega. Jackie Milam from Manassas. Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann. I've got a letter here from Whitney I can't wait to read. And then I'm going to write back to her tomorrow. It's going to be great. You guys still have a chance to get a January letter, by the way. Sign up. Pierre from Normandy. Tony Federici, right here from New York. Ryan Valorum, Ryan V, Chancellor Valorum. And Bren Antilles from the UK of Rogue Squadron. Stephanie Evil of Gaslight.tv, a writer there, of great Gaslight.tv. Koss, Gadget Doc, Brian O'Connor Jr., Marianne Hart from the chat room, Kate McCallum, Jenny Lee from the chat room, getting all the boys sweaty. And of course, StephanieKBeauty.com. And the two, last but not least, the founder and co-founder of the 1984 Club, Mr. Matt DeFabio, and Brad Meyer from the chat room. There's Matt's very, very scary salute that he gives everybody.
It's a wave.
It's a wave. Yeah, it's a very, very concerning wave that he gives everybody that I'm just concerned about. And that's it for tonight, everybody. 7:55 p.m., that's where we cut it off. We'll see you tomorrow night for the 7 o'clock show if I don't go live and don't tell you about it. But that's why subscribe and hit that notification bell on YouTube so you know when we're always live and when the mics go hot. You guys are a fantastic group of friends. And tomorrow I want to be taking a lot of your calls, so get your ideas together, especially you, Andrea. Still want to talk about porn and feminism and how it's ruined culture. All right, guys. Take care.